I'd like to welcome back to Fade to Black, the one and only Mr. David Wilcock. David, good evening.
Hey, thank you, Jimmy. It's good to be back.
It's always great to hear your voice, my friend. And, you know, before we talk about music, let me say this. You have been writing, talking, speaking, video, multimedia, internet, and so forth for a couple of decades now. And have you ever, in the last 20 years, ever seen activity on our planet like we do today?
It definitely feels like we're culminating, that all this work that's been laid, all the groundwork that's been laid is really, really heading to something. And we're not quite there yet, but it's so close. And it is very exciting. It really feels like we're right on the precipice of probably the greatest transformation in our whole civilization's history.
I look back and I think about some of the movements throughout history, right? Theosophical Society, Blavatsky, 1900, 1890, and some of the secret societies that were, and well, when I say society, groups that were getting together talking about transformation and contact and all of these and went all the way through you know, the 1970s, you know, 1980s, and these different movements that have happened. But and all those were exciting, and those were people that were awakening, and I get all of that. But today you can almost feel it, you can see it. It's very exciting, but I'm almost nervous too with that excitement. Do you feel the same thing where you can kind of almost touch it, right?
It does feel like we're very close. You got to remember, as far as the UFO disclosure, I was actually at the 2001 Disclosure Project event where 39 witnesses came forward.
Right.
At the time, I was only able to get in because I'd been on Art Bell a couple times, so I was technically a VIP. But that career break had only happened for me a few months earlier, starting in around, I guess, March 2001. I'd already been working online for 5 years and really hadn't gotten very far until that happened. And back then, we were... And I say we because, you know, I was hanging out with Dr. Greer and hearing what he was saying. And it was like half the planet was aware of what we were doing. And it was the largest streaming event in the history of the National Press Club at the time. It broke the streaming server.
Right.
But, we all thought, everybody in that room, because I was there with, you know, congressional aides and congressmen, all these other VIPs. And, of course, the 39 insiders. I actually sat right behind Helen Thomas, who's the classic female journalist who interviewed every president, I think, since Nixon, or maybe even Kennedy. And we all thought it was going to happen right then. You know, how could you stop this media blitzkrieg of 39 people coming forward in the press club? And then here we are. 17 years later, right? And it still hasn't quite happened yet. So I think it's difficult for people when they've maybe not been in this as long as I have you have to be able to detach from the wanting immediate gratification. And you have to be willing to look at the victories that are happening along the way. And understand that much in the same way as any revolution when you study history, revolutions typically, when there is a coup kind of situation, which is really what this is, it's a coup over the deep state by essentially the military of the U.S. and many other countries. Once that happens, it's going to be really fast. And so, yeah, we've been waiting 17 years just since that event. But it's gonna go like lightning once it happens. And there's so many indications now that this is really about to break. And I'll be happy to enunciate those in detail, but I don't want to just do monologues here.
Yeah, you're good at the monologue. I know. I can just go. Well, see, the thing is, that's what's great, David, is I can just kick back. Yeah, let me tell everybody. I'm not going to tell them about what the conversation was about, but David and I were talking. I don't know. It was over the weekend, and we were talking over the weekend. We had a... How long was that phone call, David? 2 hours? 3 hours?
Yeah, I think 2 hours is right.
I spoke...
Maybe three.
I spoke for 5 minutes.
Oh, come on, dude. But, I had to ventilate some
people. I know. And but
I told you, though. I told you, thank you for listening.
Yes, yes.
And I said, please allow me to go into these subjects, you know? Look, this is a war, and it's frustrating.
That's right, and
you and I are trench buddies.
Yes, that's right. And see, this is what I want the audience to understand. David speaks often, but even in private, that concern is real. Right, you weren't speaking to 10,000 or 100,000 people or whatever. You were just speaking to me. And your concern is real. And I think everybody needs to appreciate that about you. They think that you're posting on Divine Cosmos, or you're doing your shows over at Gaia or Ancient Aliens, or speaking at conferences, and that's all that you do. Your concern is real. Even privately, these conversations are what you do. And most people don't know that side of you. You know, and so there you go. I mean, I mean,
anybody who tries to say that I'm in it for the money, if I was in it for the money, I'd have a big product line on my website. I'd be doing conferences every month. I'd charge $1,000 a ticket. Yeah, I don't need to do that. I'm an artist, and I just want to do my art and have enough that I can be comfortable and not be worried about, you know, eating and paying the bills.
Right, right.
Yeah, I'm not a commercially driven person, and that's why it's kind of sad and hilarious when you see these attacks online, because I've probably been doing this just about as long as anybody. Linda Moulton Howe's been doing it longer than me, but as far as anybody visible right now, I'm definitely one of the oldest veterans. You know, even though I'm only 45, it feels like a lot longer than that.
Well, you look 55, so you got that going for you. Let me ask you this, David.
Hey, wait. I'm gonna finish the thought, okay?
Okay, go ahead.
The thought is, the two things that everybody accuses us of, and us meaning this entire community, is ego and money,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So the problem with the ego thing is, when I speak about things, I've been doing research on this my entire life. And I, for most of my life, researched 14 hours a day. I didn't watch TV. I didn't have friends. I didn't go out to eat dinner because I didn't have any money. All I did is sit and read books and read the internet and study. And so when people say, well, you know, he's so confident, the confidence comes from the fact that I've done the work. And so the ego thing, yes, in the past, I think all of us, as we fight this war, we would like to see our work get more recognition than it does. And when it doesn't, we might tend to want to inflate ourselves and say things to laud our qualifications, to boost up our persona so that we'll get more attention. I did do some of that stuff in the past. I really don't try to do that now. I don't need to prove anything. You know, if people get upset, I'm sorry that I'm not more active. I do kind of feel like John Lennon. I'm just sitting here watching the wheels go round and round.
Right.
You know, that song was really him coming forward and apologizing for taking a few years off and not doing any music. And then he was getting ready to become really politically active, and look at what happened right after that.
Right. Right.
Boom.
Right. Yeah.
So that's part of the problem is, you know, the people that are attacking us online, and I'm speaking to them because they're going to hear this show, okay? You guys have to understand, first of all, nobody's getting rich on this. Second of all, I don't need to be famous. I don't really want to be famous. That's why I moved into the middle of nowhere, so that I don't have to deal with that stuff as much. I'm not in this for anything except that I want this whole planet to be safe and to be prosperous and to move into a truly educated, enlightened era, because we're not there now. It's just insane, the stuff that we're seeing. And a lot of people, if you don't really understand the spiritual side of this, it would appear that it's getting worse. So there's my diatribe.
Well, well said, David. Well said. And when we look at and I'm speaking about the community, but also yourself directly. When we look at this disclosure that appears to be happening and is possibly, I'm just saying possibly or allegedly, coming directly from the Pentagon, and then we have the other elements of disclosure, like what Bassett is doing or what Greer is doing or others out there, that it's coming forward, but nobody has the same view on it. Who do we trust here, or do we trust nobody?
I learned a long time ago that I don't have any heroes. I'm not expecting to find a hero. I'm not expecting to find somebody to look up to. And I think the fact that most of us try to do that is actually a weakness. I don't want to be seen as a hero. I'm just an ordinary guy. People hang out with me, and I'll talk about stuff that has nothing to do with UFOs or consciousness. If they ask me, I'll talk about it. I don't get all wrapped up in weird metaphysical mumbo jumbo. I try to ground everything in science. So that's the gift. That's the gift of what you're doing, Jimmy, is it's the free will. Everybody has the option to decide what they want to believe. And so I'm not asking people to take my word for it. All I'm saying is that I will always do the very best that I can to provide you with the truth, to the best of my knowledge, to the best of my understanding. If anything that I am working on seems to get picked apart and it's credible, I will acknowledge that. I don't run away from people doing accurate skepticism. What is upsetting is that instead of people doing a skeptical rebuttal of the actual data, they tend to just descend into character assassination. You know, I gain some weight, and then they say, oh my God, David is going to get diabetes type 2, and he's eating himself to death, right? And it's like I gained maybe 10 pounds. It's ridiculous, the stuff that happens. I'm sure you've seen plenty of this.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. And this is what I find a little bizarre, and I'm trying to get through this, which is the deep state, the military industrial complex, the Pentagon, the White House, NSA, CIA, doesn't matter who you speak about here, but they have done everything they can to humiliate and discredit and embarrass anybody inside of the UFO community. And now,
in the past,
but let me finish now. It's my turn to finish.
Go ahead.
Is this now we are being asked to embrace members of the Pentagon and the Department of Defense as a messiah type figure? That
right.
and it's I have a problem with that, and so does the UFO community in general. But,
absolutely.
But what do we do with this? I mean, it's I have issues with that. I need more time and space before I feel comfortable in accepting somebody or something or a project that worked in counterintelligence, right? I mean, I have issues with that. What do you think is actually going on?
Well, you were the one that tipped me off about the hot air balloon photo.
Right.
That was coming out from To the Stars Academy of Arts and Science, which is Tom DeLonge's disclosure initiative. Now, I don't think he knew that. I can't imagine that a guy like him would put his career and his personal finances on the line and then come forward with something that had that kind of a flaw in it. But I do think if he is listening, and he very well may be, you got to step back, dude, and you got to think, did the people that gave you that information know that it was flawed, and did they lie to you? Because if that's true, then there could be other reasons for why they contacted you and what they're really trying to do than what they told you. And when you're dealing with people from the CIA, of which several of these people are,
mm-hmm.
you have to look beneath the surface. And that's what we all do. That's why we're conspiracy theorists, right?
Right, right.
Everything's a conspiracy.
Everything.
So we can't just trust this. And the fact is, as I said to you in our conversation yesterday, Jimmy, all somebody has to do is fire one shot in a battle, and now they've compromised their location. Now you know where they are. They can't fire another one without everybody triangulating on them, and they'll be gone. So in a sense, it's kind of amazing that you, as far as I know, you were the one that figured out that hot air balloon thing first. And you're the first person I heard from about it. You called me on the phone. I couldn't believe it because I wanted this thing to be great. I wanted this thing to be clean and, okay, the government is finally coming forward. They're finally telling us the truth. But there's something off about it. There's something, somebody was lying, right? And if I was going to be an attorney and we're prosecuting a case here, this is probable cause for there to be an ulterior motive. And then the question is, cui bono, who benefits, right? What's the benefit? This is what everybody needs to be asking right now. What is the benefit for disclosure to be happening today? What do they gain from this? Is there a payoff about telling us the truth about UFOs or appearing to tell us the truth?
What is the payoff? Do you have a list?
I believe I got it. I mean, the real story here is this battle that is underway between an alliance that is actually very old, depending on which aspect of it you look at, and what we could call the deep state. And the bottom line is that this battle has been fought covertly, and probably as much as 90% of what's been going on is completely outside the scope of any access that anybody in the public has. And this battle is going into its final phases. Up until just in the last, well, pretty much for this whole year of 2018, so 6 months now, our briefings on this battle have dried up. And especially now, I would say, very recently, it's now like a moratorium. Like there's literally no intel coming in. And I've always, in the past, been able to get dribs and drabs of it. And I'll also do the research and I'll look at who's leaking things online and how can we correlate actual provable fact to what people are saying. For example, if somebody is claiming to be an insider and they talk about something and then that something comes true and there would have been no other way to anticipate such a twist in history, then you know that person is at least partially correct. I don't ever fall into the fallacy of expecting that one insider or one source is 100% true.
You can't.
I think that's a big mistake.
Right, you know? Right. Can't do it.
And so that's what's happened with the Tom DeLonge thing, is we don't know now if any of it is true, and we have to look at everything with a different way of looking. And so when I have been covering this battle of the alliance versus the deep state, and I've been out there talking about this thing literally for 10 years. I got briefings from Pete Peterson, who worked directly in the White House with Ronald Reagan, with Rumsfeld, with Cheney, with all these Sith lords.
Right, right. That's good. That's good. That's
George
good.
Soros.
Right? Yeah, totally. That's good. That's funny.
Now he's wanted to get the mud off of his wheel of karma. So I'm literally not kidding when I say that Pete back in 2009 when I met him. He was working in the White House. They called him Dr. Dew because he'd been through this training program called White Star Ranch, where every year of his life, starting when he was still, most kids would be in high school, he's getting the equivalent education of a doctoral degree every year. And every year, it's a different PhD with a different guy who's the very, very best in his field. And a lot of this stuff is totally classified. So they wanted to create these super geniuses. And it's also interesting that Pete's grandfather was Tesla's main lab assistant. So Pete had also gotten all of the Tesla science that very, very few people have ever gotten their hands on. So he was an inventor, and you know, he's still here. Thank gosh, we almost lost him to a fall that broke his bone, and he had a stroke afterwards. His femur literally cracked in half, top to bottom. It was really horrible. But back in 2009, I went over with Kerry Cassidy and Bill Ryan. I paid for the trip and got us out there, got a hotel, and I started talking to Pete, and that was when he revealed stuff that had only been kind of on the periphery before. I'd been following Sherman Skolnick, who was a journalist who was in a wheelchair, and he would actually bust corrupt judges. Now, that's one of the most dangerous things to do, is take on a judge and get his ass thrown in prison. But that's what this dude was doing.
Right.
And Skolnick knew that there was an alliance. Now you got to go back and look at history, and you got to say, okay, wait a minute. What was really going on there with John F. Kennedy? Was it only him? No. There was obviously a team behind him that wanted to pass things like Executive Order 11-110 that would have taken the power to issue money and put it back in the hands of the Treasury, backed by silver. And then all of a sudden he gets shot. And, oh, yeah, it's this one dude, and there's this bullet that zinged around. Right. So then you got to look at things like Watergate, which is really only 10 years later, and that almost brought the whole thing down. And then, you know, even though a lot of people in the insider community kind of dislike Jimmy Carter was saying that he saw UFOs and that he wanted to bring out the truth. These guys get elected and they discover, oh my God, this is not safe. Reagan, this is one of the things that Pete told me, and this, remember, now he's hanging out with the Sith Lords, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Pete told me, you remember, you're old enough to remember this, Jimmy. Maybe a lot of people in the audience are. You remember when Reagan got shot at?
I do.
And then this dude, Brady, stumbled, and his head hit the bullet that was supposed to hit Reagan?
That's right.
And that's why we have the Brady Bill, which is the gun control bill?
That's right.
Why do you think somebody was shooting at Reagan? What's the deepest reason why that was happening?
Star Wars.
Because Reagan was going to tell us about UFOs.
That's right, Star Wars.
He'd been given some, he'd been given some briefings.
Yep.
And then they said, you know, and they really did want Reagan to be killed, incidentally. They did not like the fact that he survived, but what they told him was, if you ever open your effing mouth again, next time we won't effing miss. Okay, and he kept it quiet.
Well, let me jump in. I got to take a break right here, and we'll finish up that thought right after the break. And right before the break, David, we were talking about Reagan, and something popped into my head. It's really weird. If you think about it, you had Nixon, Ford, Carter, right? Reagan,
yep.
All in a row about the UFO subject. You know, Ford, when he was in Michigan, when he was governor there, had that big sighting, and he said, you know what, I'm going to Washington, we're going to have hearings, I'm going to get to the bottom of this.
I know.
Silence, I know. Right? Carter, of course. Reagan had his famous sighting in Malibu with Nancy, tooling around the coast in their Mustang convertible, and had their sighting. And they were very public about that. And so it was just all in a row, right? Of course, Barack talking about it, Bush, you know, on all the TV shows lately. But every single one of them, nothing. Nothing ever came of it.
Well, when Reagan tried, that's the threat that he got, you know. And it was divine intervention that Brady took a bullet for the president, because that president was working with what I'm calling the alliance, and he got a denouement of the Cold War nuclear threat with the USSR.
Right.
That whole thing with Glasnost and Perestroika with Gorbachev, you know, Reagan actually essentially defused the nuclear war threat with the USSR.